Podcast Fresh.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to another episode of the Gaming Asylum. I am your host, Ryan Mello, aka Acapello. And yeah, it's been a while since I got on here and just did a solo show. It's been kind of busy with life. But a lot has happened in the past month or so that I'll probably be making little podcast breakdowns like this. And I think the first thing I want to tackle that I should tackle, because you know this is big for me, is I want to talk a little bit about Akira Toriyama, who passed away recently. I want to talk a little bit about I got this stuff here on Copilot. I want to go through it a little bit of facts of the man that maybe you didn't know, maybe you did know. And then maybe just diving into like my own personal experience with his work. I don't know, man, this was heavy, and me talking about it right now is actually kind of like I could feel the nerves and maybe some tears building up in the back, but I'm going to try to keep it together. This man was just crazy inspirational to me, and I hailed him as like a god. It's like, in a way, kind of like Stan Lee in comic books. Like, to me, Toriyama was like that in anime, but he also touched so many other avenues like outside of anime that like was crazy. And when you realize it, it kind of clicks that, okay, yeah, this is a Toriyama piece. And I think he was just great for that, you know. Obviously his most notable work is Dragon Ball, and I'm probably gonna talk the whole time about Dragon Ball. But he did do a lot of other things, and I think we need to talk about that, or at least touch on it as much as I can, because again, I'm going to be giving just a personal stories about, you know, me and Akira, I guess. So before I go into that, just want to remind everybody, follow our Instagram, Podcast Fresh, follow our YouTube at Podcast Fresh Network, the Twitter, Podcast Fresh TO, and of course email us at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. Let's just get into it, man. I feel like I just wanna get into it. No fancy things for this show. So Akira Toriyama, born April 5th, 1955 in Kyosu, Aichi, Japan. And then we got like a list of things that he basically like kind of landmarks in his career. First thing that I didn't know, I thought Dragon Ball was his first kind of notable work, but actually Dr. Slump, which was a manga that ran from 1980 to 1984, was his kind of opening debut. That was where he first gained some recognition, was this Dr. Slump manga. And apparently it was a humorous kind of tale. It wasn't, you know, it was lighthearted. It was probably a precursor to Dragon Ball. I thought that was really interesting, actually. I always thought Dragon Ball was his launch, but it wasn't. But Dragon Ball did catapult him to global fame. The martial arts themed manga, which he wrote from 1984 to 1995, became a cultural phenomenon. The story of Goku and his quest for the mystical Dragon Balls resonated with audiences worldwide. The manga sold a staggering 260 million copies globally, making it one of the best-selling manga series of all time. I think that's a surprise to no one. You wouldn't have your Narutos and your One Pieces and all that without Dragon Ball. And without Dragon Ball, you don't have Akira Toriyama. And, you know, Dragon Ball was kind of what propelled manga to you know, the popularity that it's reached now. Like, it definitely played the most important part in all of that. The fact that it sold 260 million copies is insane. And, what else can you say about it? It's Dragon Ball. Dragon Ball is, like, one of the most recognizable things ever. Like, my mom knows. Your mom knows. Like, it's just Dragon Ball. Beyond manga, Toriyama lent his artistic talents to video games. He worked as a character designer for popular games like the Dragon Quest series, Chrono Trigger, and Blue Dragon. Man, so it's funny. Chrono Trigger has been something that I've always wanted to try. However, my dumb collector mindset always thinks that I need to find this game out in the wild for like $500 for a loose copy for the Super Nintendo, and that's probably why I just never got to it. But I've accepted, you know, that's probably never gonna happen. I'm not down to drop five bills on a single card. But I mean, I do have it on the PlayStation 1, and honestly, if I have to, I'll just emulate it. It's fine. But eventually I will get to Chrono Trigger. I love the designs of those characters. Like, even before I knew it was him, like, just seeing the designs, the main protagonist with the red hair, but he's got the spikes going on, like, it all looked like Dragon Ball. But of course it did, because it was Akira Toriyama. So when I learned that he also, like got together with Square Enix and worked on, a you know, two or three titles, like, that's pretty cool. That is pretty awesome. The fact that, like, this guy who's known for Dragon Ball also did this, like, kind of side hustle here and, you know, made lent his talents to Chrono Trigger, which is, like, revered as one of the greatest RPGs of all time. And he got to be a part of that. The Dragon Quest series has always intrigued me, but I feel like it's just so much bigger than like, your normal series. Like, I probably don't have to go back and play all of them, but, like, I don't know. I feel like it's just kind of a daunting task when they're at, like, Dragon Quest 12, right? I did try to get into Dragon Quest 11, and I liked it. I got, like, I spent some time with it, but then, like, for some reason, I fell off. And I don't know if it was, like, the music. I don't know if it was the voice acting. But something along those lines, just, I never loved it. But one thing I did love was the art, and the art was always the thing that, like, still makes me interested in trying the series. The art, again, it looks like Dragon Ball, but, like, it's got this twist that makes it Dragon Quest instead. I can't explain it, but, like, if you saw these characters in Dragon Ball, they would fit, but also, they don't belong in Dragon Ball. It's very weird. And then he did Blue Dragon, which Blue Dragon, I just familiarized myself with it not too long ago when I was looking at, you know, his work. And I didn't know that he was involved with Blue Dragon, but also I didn't know about Blue Dragon until recently. But Blue Dragon was basically came out in, what was it, the 360. It came out during the 360 era, and that was around 2006. 2007, it says here. 2007 for the rest of the world, 2006 in Japan. And again, the Blue Dragon, like, the main character, again, looks like something from Dragon Ball. And even the dragon itself, like, the monster design, looks like something from, like, Dragon Ball, like, the original Dragon Ball series. Not Z, but the first one. And it was actually created by Hironobu Sakaguchi, who was the creator of Final Fantasy, which is hilarious because that's my favorite series, or one of. And the fact that he got together with Akira Toriyama, it's kind of like that crossover that you don't imagine happening. Like, kind of my two favorite things coming together in a way. Yeah, you know, another RPG for the 360. And I never played it. I don't know much about it. It looks kind of cool. Maybe it's something I'll check out in the future. I got to see how much, like, physicals go for. But it seems to have done pretty well. Like, it ranged from mixed opinions to good opinions. Or scores, right, rather. IGN gave it a 7 out of 10. GameSpot, 6 out of 10. Famitsu, 37 out of 40. Like, it seems mostly positive, to be honest. But, yeah, so I guess these three games were his most notable works. And that's awesome. I mean, he didn't just stick with Dragon Ball. He did all kinds of stuff, right? He also has Sandland, which that has a game coming out. This guy's done a lot. Toriyama received the 1981 Shogakukan Manga Award for the best shonen manga with Dr. Slump. In 2019, he was decorated as the Chevalier of the French Order des Arts et Lettres for his contributions to the arts. Sorry if I butchered the French. It was not good in French class. So this guy won awards. Akira won awards. He deserved the awards. Doesn't surprise me at all. And then last bit of news or things here, facts here. Akira passed away March 1st, 2024, leaving behind a rich legacy that continues to captivate fans across generations. His creativity and imagination will forever resonate in the hearts of manga enthusiasts worldwide. Ah, damn. Okay, so Akira Toriyama, man, what does that mean to me? What was, like, my introduction to the man? I remember long time ago when I was about 7, 8 years old, maybe 6 years old, it started around 2001. I remember I had to go to a public school near my grandmother's house. So my parents were both working. So every morning at around 5 a.m. or 6 a.m., we would leave my house, drive to my grandmother's house for them to drop me off, and they would go to work all day. I'd either go to school or I would just chill there all day, depending on what day it was. I remember that the thing that really kept me entertained, like, that I at least look forward to, because I liked going to school, and my uncle lived there as well, so I had a great relationship with him, and of course he's the uncle I always talk about. Shout out our menu. He introduced me to a lot of things, but when I was just by myself, when I didn't have anyone to talk to, and I was just kind of in my own world playing with my toys, whatever it is, the TV, you know, was on, and I remember specifically around 4 o'clock, they showed back-to-back bangers. They showed the Pokemon anime, which was probably my favorite at the time, just because, like, I think Pokemon was my first thing in general. Pokemon was the first thing that I got obsessed with and that I was into. It wasn't, like, the first game I played, it wasn't the first thing I watched, but it was the first thing I got obsessed with. So I always look forward to watching Pokemon. And then Digimon came on right after. And I liked that too. Admittedly, not as much, but like, it's still like, I still thought it was a cool concept and stuff. And then around 6 o'clock, they would show Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z to me was such a different kind of anime, because it no longer dealt with, like, you know, little creatures that are fighting for the humans. Now it's like the humans are, like, facing this dynamic threat that's gonna level the planet if they don't do something about it. Like, like, stuff got real in Dragon Ball. When Dragon Ball came around, like, it wasn't like Pokemon and Digimon. Like, Dragon Ball was like, oh shit. And man, for a few years, like, that was the lineup, like, Pokemon, Digimon, Dragon Ball. And then eventually Yu-Gi-Oh got thrown in, and I was never super into Yu-Gi-Oh. I didn't care for it really, but it was a fine watch. I'd watch it on TV, it was fine, but I wasn't into the cards or anything like that. But yeah, man, Dragon Ball, I remember just sticking out. And then at one point it did surpass Pokemon. Dragon Ball at one point became my favorite thing ever, but at the time it was really hard. Like, and also I'm talking about being restricted as a kid. Like, it's not like I could just go on the internet and look up things and, you know, get stuff from like Dragon Ball merchandise and stuff like that. I couldn't do that. But when I did go to, like, Toys R Us, when I did go to the store, when I did go out with my parents and, like, I was allowed to get something or pick something so they could buy for me, I always looked for Dragon Ball stuff, and I could never find it. I couldn't find a VHS, I couldn't find a DVD, and I know VHSs were, like, were very popular. Like, the Dragon Ball VHSs were pretty easy to come by, I heard. For some reason, I never did. But, like, yeah, I tried to get, like, a toy. I tried to, like, it wasn't around. Like, at least where I lived, it just wasn't around. And I remember, for some reason, my favorite character in Dragon Ball when I was a kid, I'm not going to say it now, even though I do like the character still, but my favorite one for some reason was Krillin. And it was all because I thought the Destructo Disc move looked so badass as a kid. And I was hooked. And then one day I see an ad on TV for these toys, for the Dragon Ball toys. And sure enough, you see a figure of Krillin with, like, a Destructo Disc that you can actually, like, launch from his hand. And I was like, oh, I gotta get that. So I'm telling my parents, I remember. And then they brought me back the wrong one. I think they brought me back Piccolo or something. I don't know how they mixed up Piccolo and Krillin, but whatever. And I was happy, but I was kind of bummed, right? Because I wanted Krillin. But remember that was, like, the one Dragon Ball thing I owned. And I was, like, pretty happy with it. Like, I treated that toy like gold. Can't say I know where it is now. It's probably gone. But yeah, man, just Dragon Ball became so important to me. And I remember just, like, really making an effort to tune in every day. And then the thing is, when the weekend rolled around, sometimes I didn't go to my grandma's house anymore. So the schedule kind of got out of whack, because now I'm doing what my parents want me to do, or I'm outside with my friends at 4 or 5 o'clock and I missed the show, right? Like, it was just the way life was. Like, especially back then, I mean, we could go outside and play. It wasn't as like crazy as it is now. Now I wouldn't let my future kids go outside at all. Like, the world we live in is nuts. But yeah, back then, that was just the way it was. So I remember like kind of being bummed when I missed an episode. Like, I remember I missed it. I was like, oh shit. But man, I just remember them airing the Frieza saga like over and over and over again. It always started with like Goku arriving at Namek and he fights the Ginyu Force, and then like they get into the Frieza fight, but I never saw the end of the Frieza fight. Like, those episodes just repeated for whatever reason. And then I know what the reason was. I think he was writing Dragon Ball Z, so they were kind of waiting for it to come, you know, to the North America. But it, like, even though like, I kept watching the same like 20 episodes, I watched them because I thought it was cool. I thought it was so awesome. I thought it was badass. Goku was like, you know, a great, like, I don't know if you want to say role model, but as a kid, you like idolize this guy. And yeah, Dragon Ball Z, man, that was like, that was a great time in my life. I remember just being a kid, not giving a shit about anything, coming home, watching Pokemon, Digimon, Dragon Ball, and then playing some Grand Theft Auto 3. It was the only Grand Theft Auto I was allowed to play because they didn't really curse. Yeah, but then when my parents came home, I had to turn it off. Yeah, and then that was kind of it, at least as a kid. Then, fast forward into the future, around 2014, or perhaps 2015, no, it was 2014, my dad gets hit with a bad case of vertigo, and it's like new and scary, and we don't really know what the hell's happening, like before the, it's a vertigo diagnosis. And they kept him in the hospital for like a week or two. And I remember my mom was always there, and I was like going to work and then like kind of going to the hospital straight after. But my sister was a kid still, and my grandmother lived at home also. So it was like, if I wasn't at home with my sister and my grandmother, then I'd be at the hospital with my mom and dad. And one thing that really helped me through it, for whatever reason, I kind of rediscovered Dragon Ball, because for a long time, like, it didn't matter to me anymore. Like, I was just kind of doing my own thing, getting into sports, playing soccer, playing soccer, skateboarding heavy, just, you know, doing other stuff. I remember I didn't know what I wanted to do after high school, so I took a year off, and I was trying to figure myself out also. Like, it was a tough year, I remember, and Dragon Ball was the one thing that I kind of remembered. And I think it was actually because I was at the mall and I went into HMV, which used to be this, like pretty much a music store here in Canada, but they kind of did away with it. Although I heard it's coming back in Toys R Us or something. I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, I remember going to HMV and I saw that they had Dragon Ball DVDs for sale. I was like, oh, damn. Okay. Saw the first two seasons of Dragon Ball Z there. So I bought them for about 35 bucks each. And I remember like, well, okay, I'm gonna just watch this. Like, I finally get to finish that, right? Like, I finally get to see how Goku and Frieza ended the saga, how, like, what happened after, what happened before, even, because I missed the Saiyan saga. Like, I finally get to watch this properly. I was really like stoked about it. I was like, finally something for me to do, right? Like, something I can get into. And I remember taking it home, but before I popped it in, I remember I got curious. So I went online and I looked up how many seasons there was of Dragon Ball Z. And for me to learn there was like 9 seasons, I believe it's 9. I was like, oh damn, okay, this went on for a while. Okay, this is gonna be an investment. But then I find out there was a Dragon Ball series prior to Dragon Ball Z, which I did not really know about. Like, this was all new to me. Like, to me, I just thought Z was the only thing out. So I go back to HMV literally the next day, and I'm trying to find the original Dragon Ball series, and I literally bought all 5 seasons in one shot. So spent about like 2 bills or something there. And I asked my sister, I'm like, okay, look, this is something I watched as a kid. how about we you know, because she was also pretty sad about everything. I was like, how about we just you know, start this. If you like it, you can keep watching it with me, but I plan on watching the whole goddamn thing. So I pop in Dragon Ball, the first series, watching it, and even at the time I was like, this is cool, but like it already looked kind of dated. But of course it did, it was like the 80s. But what's funny is like I didn't know how inappropriate that show would be, right? Like, because then certain like scenes start happening with like Goku and Bulma, and I'm like, god, Jesus, like my sister's watching. I'm like, this is kind of effed up actually. But whatever, I stuck with it. And then when I got to Z, once we got to Z, I was like, yo, this is sick, like I'm all in. So I watched the entirety of Dragon Ball Z. And then after Z, we watched all the Dragon Ball Z movies and the Dragon Ball movies. And then we got to Dragon Ball GT, which I think it's fine. The fact that it's not canon makes it more fine. Like, I like that it's not canon because it's not worthy of being canon. But it's a nice little interesting watch. It's not too long. It's about 60 episodes. Like, it's an interesting watch. It's like an alternate kind of reality. It's a what if to me. But I remember watching GT. I didn't hate it. Kind of liked it, but whatever. And then, you know, that was it. And I was like, all right, cool, man. Like, I felt like a real fan at that point. I was like, I've seen everything. Everything is, like, under my belt. I've seen it all. I know what happens. It's awesome. And then I start telling people about Dragon Ball Z again, trying to spread the word. I was like, oh, I just watched Dragon Ball Z. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, I remember that. And then, you know, sure enough, people would start watching it, too. And then, man, a few years later, around 2016 or something, I forget. When did Battle of the Gods come out? Hold on, let me look this up real quick on the Google ski. Oh, it was also 2014. So this must have been... The Dragon Ball hype must have reemerged again around this point. And that's why they were doing those DVDs. So I guess, yeah, Battle of the Gods came out. So that's kind of what I capped it off then. Yeah, this is kind of coming back to me. I capped it off with Battle of the Gods. And they brought back Dragon Ball, right? Like, Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods was a new movie that came out in 2014, 2013, whenever it was. And, dude, it was awesome. Like, I was like, holy, like, the animation was so much better than the other series. And I'm like, this just looks legit. It's so exciting to see Goku go to another Super Saiyan form with the red hair. And, like, Beerus is, like, this new badass character that's, like, more powerful than anything that's ever been out there. And, dude, it's just, holy shit, like... It was honestly a trip to watch it. I remember just feeling like, wow, I can't believe it's back. Like, to me, it was just kind of like a franchise that was done with, right? Like, but they brought it back. And I remember going to watch Dragon Ball Z Battle of the Gods. I think I bought the DVD. And then once Resurrection F came out, which was basically the return of Frieza, I remember going to the theaters, and that was the following year. I remember going to theaters with some friends, and we actually watched it, man. I never thought I would watch Dragon Ball in a theater. That blew my mind, and it was so epic. Like, it was honestly so goddamn epic, dude. I got chills just reliving that in my head. But yeah, then following that, they did the best thing ever. They brought back Dragon Ball Super. Or they brought back Dragon Ball with Dragon Ball Super, a new show. It ran from 2015 to 2018, and I did not watch this show until about 2018, because I wanted them all to go to DVD, or Blu-ray, actually. So again, I started buying the Blu-rays, and I think I finished the series in 2019, and holy shit, what an epic conclusion to that. They brought back so many characters, so many fan favorites, and it was just, you know, I have nostalgia for Dragon Ball Z, like that's the baby right there. Like, that's like, you know, that has my heart. But Dragon Ball Super is the best Dragon Ball show that's been put out. I stand by that. It's just awesome. And then they did a few movies after that. They did the Broly movie and Super Hero, which that's where I'm at now. Super Hero is the one that I have to watch. I actually own it, but I just haven't had the time to watch it. But I do want to watch it before the new Dragon Ball Super comes back, because they're going to continue it. I think in April. April or very soon, I forget when, but I think I heard April, because they're going to continue it. And, you know, it kind of sucks that Akira Toriyama, which, let's bring it back, Akira Toriyama is the whole reason why I'm doing this, It sucks that he's not going to be a part of it, and to see what happens with it. I don't know if Toyotaro, who is the artist for the manga, I don't know if he's going to like continue it himself. I don't think so. He's an artist, not a writer, but I don't know. I also think maybe his family can continue it, his son, you know, like that's all up in the air. But it does suck that it's making a comeback and he's not going to be here. That really, ugh, it's horrible. But I'm excited nonetheless. I will watch it in his honor. And yeah, man, I plan on watching Superhero very soon. I want to get that under my belt. I want to have an opinion on it as well. But yeah, damn, what do I say? Like, where do I go from here? Dragon Ball was just super inspirational to me, man, and I still continue loving it to this day. You know, I've played all the new games. I remember when I did get back into Dragon Ball, Xenoverse was the newest game out, so I got that and I loved it. Followed it up with Xenoverse 2. I love that even more. I was obsessed with that game for months, man. I played that so much. And then when Kakarot came out, man, that was it. I remember spending about 100 hours in that game. Like, that was... it was just so good because it was like a retelling of Z. Like, everything. It was like the best Z experience that you could have without actually watching the show. It was awesome. And they keep updating it. That game is still getting updates. Along with Xenoverse 2, which is ridiculous. But, yeah, it's I might go back to that as well once I'm, you know, done with these games that keep occupying my space. But yeah, Kakarot was an amazing game. And of course, we can't talk about Dragon Ball video games without talking about Dragon Ball FighterZ. I had a lot of fun with that game. I love playing that game with people. I don't play it by myself. I don't really play fighting games by myself, but man, that is one that I love putting on because it looks incredible. It looks like the show. It's just so goddamn fun, too, like, to just get in there, even if you don't know what you're doing. Like, man, it's just, it looks awesome. It's so epic. And I will be giving Dragon Ball Sparking Zero a try once that comes out. That looks really cool as well. And I guess, like, this is a little bonus. If I had to, like, say who my favorite Dragon Ball character was, man, it's been... in for years, it's always been, like, between about three people. But usually it's Trunks. Like, Trunks is usually, like, my boy. You know, like, I love Trunks. I love this character arc. I love that he came from the future and, like, you know, he made Frieza his bitch. Like, after Goku took 13 goddamn episodes to kill Frieza, and Trunks did it in 13 seconds. Like, it was ridiculous. I remember that just blowing my damn mind at the time. And it was just cool to see a character with a sword. Like, he didn't need a sword. Like, he was... it's Dragon Ball. They're all going Super Saiyan. They're doing energy blasts. But this guy had a sword. it was just funny. Like, it looked awesome. And honestly, another connection, and this has to do with my second favorite character, or third, again, depending on the day. I guess I'll just continue with the characters. It's Gohan and Vegeta. Okay? Vegeta is just such a redeemable villain. Like, the fact that he turned good and he continues to claim that he's only... decided to deal with Goku and all the other people's bullshit is because he needs Goku to keep training with him so he himself can get stronger. But like, low key, you know that like he actually grew to love these people. You know, he married Bulma, they had kids. Like, it's just awesome, right? Like, Vegeta's just in a way comedic relief. I don't know. And then Gohan, who, you know, the iconic Cell saga with Gohan, the teen Gohan, as he finished them off with the father-son Kamehameha, like, man, that was badass. And Gohan, I remember Gohan looking like Cloud. Remember when I got into Final Fantasy VII, the sprite for Cloud looked like Gohan. Like, it literally looked like Gohan. He was wearing the purple with the red belt, the spiky gold hair. Like, it was Gohan. Like, what? It wasn't even like... it's like, they weren't even trying to hide it. It literally looked like Gohan. Now, whether they knew it or not, I don't know. I'm pretty sure they did, though, since they collaborated with Toriyama. But, yeah, that just blew my damn mind. But then you look at, like, Remake Cloud. And he's got, like, Gohan vibes still, but he also's got some Trunks vibes, right? Like, or Trunks vibes. I don't know, I just find it very interesting and very funny that they give me, like, similar vibes all around. I don't know, it's crazy. Might be an accident, might not be. But yeah, Gohan was just badass. Like, as a kid, he was like that baby, that crybaby, but then once he turned into a teenager, he was like badass, and they just kept saying that he was stronger than all the other Saiyans. He was stronger than Goku, stronger than Vegeta. Like, he was gonna be insane if he kept training, but he didn't. Instead, he became a bookworm, and he became goddamn lame in Super, and that's why he's probably my third favorite character, because I hate what they did with Gohan. But if Dragon Ball Super Superhero is anything to go by, apparently they fixed that, so I'm excited to get into that just for that reason alone. I need to see what happens with Gohan. But yeah, like, even those are my top three, but Goku's awesome. Beerus is awesome. All the villains to me are awesome. Majin Buu's an idiot, but I love him. Even like idiots like Mr. Satan, like they just, the characters are iconic. Even ones that don't appear much, like Yamcha and Tien and stuff. Like, it's just they all got their own flair, and it's such a cool thing to see. And you don't see that anymore too much now. Like, creators struggle to come up with iconic designs that are gonna last forever. And like, I feel like a lot of things that came out in the 80s and 90s just had no problem with that. But also, granted, it was simpler times, but you look at a cartoon made today, just turn on some kids' TV show, like a teenager TV show. Look at the cartoon. Look at like how minimal it is compared to things that we saw back then. Like, the effort speaks for itself, man. I'm always going to stand by that. But, yeah, I guess I'm going to stop now. 30 minutes in. I guess all I gotta say is thank you, and rest in peace, Akira Toriyama. You've literally inspired me with a lot of your work. Even like, I have songs that I've made over the years with Dragon Ball references. There's one with a Dragon Ball sample. I got a song called Super Saiyan. Like, Dragon Ball has always been in my life. It's always inspired me, and I think this resurgence of Dragon Ball, like, it's more popular than ever, and honestly, I love seeing it. So, rest in peace, Mr. Toriyama. You will be missed. And to everyone else who stuck with me to the end, hope you had a nice little listen to, you know, kind of the insight on how I feel about Dragon Ball, because I've touched on Dragon Ball, but I don't think I've ever deep dived into it like this. Yeah, but I thank you guys for downloading this episode. I thank you guys for listening. Like I said, follow our Instagrams at Podcast Fresh. You can follow myself at official_acapello. You can follow my co-host, Chris Torres, at Torres Unlimited. And then we got our Twitter, Podcast Fresh TO. We got our mail, our email at podcastfresh2020@gmail.com. And check out the YouTube, check out the Facebook. Podcast Fresh will pop up. All right, guys. Thank you for listening. And peace out. Podcast Fresh. Yeah.